Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aarti Industries Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishid Solanki from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Aarti Industries Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. Today, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Rajendra Gogri, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rashesh Gogri, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Chetan Gandhi, Chief Financial Officer. We will commence the call with opening thoughts from Mr. Rajendra Gogri, who would take us through the performance, update on growth initiatives, and outlook on the business. Post this, we shall open the forum for question and answer, where the management will be addressing to your queries. Just to share our standard disclaimer here, some of the statements made on today's conference call could be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation that has been shared earlier and also uploaded on stock exchange website. I would now like to invite Mr. Rajendra Gogri to share his perspectives. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. Hope everyone is keeping safe and in good health. Our results document have been shared earlier, and I trust you had opportunity to glance through them. We have commenced the new financial year on a positive note. The performance was resilient given the backdrop of challenging macroeconomic scenario, made by continued inflationary trend in key input costs, higher utility costs, as well as disruption in global supply chains arising due to conflict between Russia and Ukraine, uncertainty arising due to global inflation and fear of various economies going into recession. While we have navigated through some of the shocks, we witnessed demand slowdown from few end user industries like textile and FMCG. This moderation is largely on account of prolonged cost pressure across the manufacturing value chain and a global recession fear. Having said that, we are actively monitoring the situation and our performance in the ensuing period will be aligned to this trend. Now let me share the key financial trends for Q1 FY23. Our revenue grew by 45% YOY to rupees 2,173 crore. EBITDA stood at rupees 369 crore, higher by 18% YOY. Profit after tax came in at rupees 189 crore, an increase of 15% over last year. Our revenue trajectory was steered by realization gains as well as the higher volume offtake for certain products. A substantial increase in the revenue was also on account of the robust pricing structure, wherein the variation in input prices are passed on to the consumer. We saw revenues coming in from the newer capacity added in the recent past, along with the incremental volume gains from existing capacity. This was further supported by planned ramp-up in respective units from the first and second long-term contract. We've been able to pass on the cost pressure linked to the raw material prices and utility to our customers, thereby protecting our absolute EBITDA. As you would recollect, in Q1 FY22, there was a shortfall fees income of about 32 crore. Normalizing the Q1 FY22 numbers for this shortfall income, the YOY EBITDA growth would be closer to 30%. During the quarter under review, we also witnessed mark-to-market impact on ECBs on account of steep depreciation of INR versus US dollars. This negatively impacted our PBT performance to the tune of rupees 30 crore. Excluding this impact, the performance would have been even better. Our utilization level across plants continues to improve, resulting into better profitability at the company level. We have built a strong integrated business model through well-diversified model, a diversified product portfolio and consistent focus on R&D capabilities. I believe this, along with our deep connect with the customers and end, will drive sustained growth and profitability going forward as well. I will now move to segment-wise performance overview. In Q1 FY23, revenue from specialty chemical business stood at rupees 1,766 crore, a growth 44% over 1,228 crore reported in the same quarter of last financial year. EBIT improved by 8% to rupees 250 crore. Normalizing the impact of shortfall income during the last year, the Q1 FY22 of rupees 32 crore, the absolute EBIT growth would be about 25%. In addition to favorable pass-through of elevated input and utility costs to the customer, the performance was bolstered by improved product mix with high contribution of value-added products at 74%. Moving to update on production details for Q1 FY23. Production of nitrochlorobenzene was at 20,515 metric tons. Similarly, for hydrogenated products, production stood at 3,295 metric tons per month. For nitrotoluene, the production for Q1 FY23 stood at 5,252 metric tons. As was the case until last quarter, the quarter also we witnessed some impact on our business due to short supply of key raw material nitric acid. We have been working closely with the vendors to maximize our requirement. We had witnessed the situation eased in June 2022. As you are aware, in the last quarter, we had informed that we had already tied up with technology partner for setting up a unit for concentrating nitric acid from dilute nitric acid with a capacity of close to 225-250 TPD. Currently, we are working on a long-term comprehensive strategy to mitigate this risk. Let me now share updates on our expansion projects. We have started seeing volume ramp up from the facility linked to first long-term contract and expect to reach high utilization level of 70%-80% by next year. With respect to the second long-term contract where we commenced commercial manufacturing in the previous quarter, utilization level have been progressively increasing. This capacity will see a ramp up as planned and expected to reach 80%+ utilization level by FY24. Other capacity project initiative with respect to third long-term contract at Jhagadia, then NCB expansion at Vapi, et cetera, are underway and expected to be commissioned in the forthcoming quarter. This will start contributing to our revenues from FY24. Since substantial part of the fixed cost would be built in by FY23, we don't expect major increase in the fixed cost in FY24, and the volume ramp up as envisaged in FY24 will significantly lead to increase in EBITDA. Now moving your attention to pharma business. In Q1 FY23, we reported revenue of rupees 407 crores, higher by 48% as compared to rupees 276 crore in Q1 FY22. EBIT stood at rupees 76 crore, an increase of 46% YOY. Performance was driven by continued high demand for key products, leading to better volume trajectory from generic pharma companies and Zensar business. While a major part of the elevated input and utility costs were passed on to the customer, in some cases the same had to be absorbed. In a significant development, in month of June, the audit by U.S. FDA was conducted at our Dombivli API unit. They had raised two points under Form 483, which we are confident of addressing the same and getting an EIR soon. With that happening, the Dombivli unit will become the third U.S. FDA-approved facility for us, while the other two, the API unit at Tarapur and the intermediate unit at Vapi, has been approved by U.S. FDA since last 10+ years. We have commissioned the new API block at U.S. FDA-approved API facility at Tarapur in early Q2. We are witnessing a positive demand scenario in pharma intermediates, lending strong visibility to the business. Our performance going forward will be anchored by incremental gains from newly introduced products, higher capacity for the steady lineup of existing products, and exciting pipeline of upcoming approvals in cardiovascular, anti-diabetic, anti-hypertensive, oncology, and corticosteroid segment. For the quarter under review, we entailed a CapEx of 200 crore and are on track for our planned expansion initiative for FY23 and FY24. Over the next two years, FY23 and FY24, we'll be investing close to rupees 3,000 crore in capacity addition and augmentation to support our growth plan. Our emphasis on innovation and R&D-led projects, where we have 40+ products for specialty chemical and 50+ products for pharma in the pipeline, will help propel our performance and achieve the stated guidance by FY27. Before I conclude, let me share other key important development. In respect to the proposed demerger proposal of the pharma business to the Aarti Pharma Labs Limited, the hearing at NCLT were concluded on August 1, 2022. We expect the order to be issued soon and will take up the necessary action items for making the demerger effective immediately. Overall, we are very well poised to deliver buoyant performance in the forthcoming year. Superior execution capabilities combined with the ongoing scale-up and introduction of new chemical value chain, like chlorotoluene, will define our growth trajectory. This is in addition to positive tailwinds arising from the shift in global supply chain towards India. All in all, we are excited and will focus on demonstrating sustained growth in revenues and profitability, thereby creating value for all stakeholders. That concludes my initial thoughts and will now request the moderator to open the floor for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Surya Narayan from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. So a couple of questions. First of all, that about the second multi-year supply contract. So I just wanted to understand what is the level of ramp up that we have witnessed. So and we have also mentioned that for that particular project, by 24, it would be around 80% kind of utilization. So that means in the first year, whether it would be like something like 40-50% kind of utilization level one should consider of the annualized 500 crore run rate?
Yeah, first year will be around that level. And but overall, the way it is structured, even the top line may be less, but at the EBITDA level, there will not be much impact linked to the capacity utilization.
Okay. But my understanding was that, so since the second contract was supposed to be a low margin supply contract, so with the ramp up that we are seeing in the first quarter, whether there is any impact in the sequential 100 basis point kind of a weakness in the gross margin what we are witnessing, is it because of that, or it is it has not ramped up to that level to influence the margin of the overall business?
No, the margin, gross margin is mainly because of the raw material increase. Even, you know, QOQ also, the raw material has substantially increased. You know? The benzene has also gone from 77 to 94, sulfur from 27 to 37. So the main reason on that, the gross margin level, is because of the core raw material increases.
Okay. Sir, second question is that this quarter, suddenly that we are witnessing a sharp jump in the export share. So let's say in the previous quarter it was below 40, and it is jumped to 46. And this is after a kind of a long, many quarters that has, we are seeing a kind of a change in the export mix. So whether it is because of the pricing scenario which is better in the export market, that is why we have tweaked our supply a situation here, to take the advantage, or it is a sustainable one now, and what has led to this kind of swing, sir?
Yes, this second contract is for 100% export, so that is, leads to the increase in export. And overall, you know, we are always trying to see the which market, you know, which is getting better realization. It also depends on the product mix and market mix. But in general, we see that, you know, export in the range of, you know, 40-50% will remain.
Okay. And just one further clarification on the second contract, sir, whether the currently the utilization level would be around 40% or so, that should be fair assumption for the quarter one?
Yeah, I think.
Okay. So third question is on the futuristic project, what we have said that that around 90 odd projects are which are there in the pipeline currently under development, and those are likely to bring in margin profile of something like 25-30% beyond 24. So here I'm just trying to understand whether these products are customized products. That is why, because we know that our business is to some extent is in terms of margin, it can be volatile because of the commodity prices. But we are confident about those new product opportunities and saying that it definitely the margin profile could be beyond 25% up to 30%. So,
yeah,
so that
sure.
means,
okay.
So that means those products are like customized product and hence the clarity about profitability is assured.
Basically, commodity prices will always impact, but in general, at the similar commodity, this raw material prices, they will be much more valuated currently we are, you know, at 70-30 kind of a range, you know, 74-26. But the chlorotoluene range will have almost 90% value-added product. And only about 10% maybe the chlorotoluene itself. And further valuation, whatever now we are planning for our normal nitrochlorobenzene, nitrotoluene DCB chain, will be all value-added products. I think our baseline product capacity we have already expanded. So any further going forward, all the new capacity or existing value chain will be on a value-added. And chlorotoluene is a host of...
Sorry to interrupt you. Sir, your voice is breaking. I need to reconnect your line, sir. Participants, please stay connected while we rejoin the line for Mr. Gogri back to the call. Participants, thank you for your patience. You have the line for Mr. Gogri reconnected. Sir, you may go ahead.
Yeah. So basically, entire chlorotoluene chain and all will be sub significant portion of will be high value added and will be adding, you know, additional 4, 5, 6 chemistries over the base chemistry of chlorination.
But none of the project is currently tied up with some other customer or something like that.
No, it is will be a multi, so many different products for so many different end use as well as customers. It's a full basket of products with a very different end use in pharma as well as in agro. And so we'll have same import substitution as well as, you know, customer pool because of there's no other Indian source. So we are quite well mapped up the market. So it is not linked to a single product, single customer situation.
Okay. Just last question on the pharma now separation, the pharma segment. So, see whether how would that impact the outlook, long-term outlook guidance that we have given?
Yeah, I think pharma itself also will grow as we had announced. We are going to put up a, we have taken up a new land in near Dahej in Atali. So we'll be setting up a new greenfield site in pharma. And USFDA, we have already commissioned in this Q2 at our Tarapur plant. So we see a sizable growth will continue to be in pharma also, in addition to the chemicals, which the products I already discussed just now. So both the segment will see a substantial growth.
Yeah, sir. So in fact, in last few quarter, let's say, or generally, pharma, although it is a share-wise, it is smaller, but profitability-wise, it is better than a specialty in the recent times that we have observed. So with the separation, do you think there will be some pressure in the interim period before the specialty picking up and the, you know, long-term supply contracts ramping up and protecting the profitability? But till that time, there is some challenge. Should we consider that?
No, actually, FY24, as I mentioned in the speech, that, you know, most of the fixed cost will be covered in FY23, which guidance what we have given. The FY24 will be mainly of a ramp up, so the gross profit virtually will translate to EBITDA. So, in chemical segment, we expect a substantial jump in EBITDA in FY24 and 25. And then the new project will start ticking in from FY25 onwards.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for taking all my questions.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good evening and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, a couple of questions. First is on our product number one, where you have said that you have seen a significant improvement in utilization level. Just can you some more numbers in terms of are we planning to sell this intermediate for this product, I mean, for where in the international market, and are we still selling in the open market, or we have been able to get into some long-term contract with the intermediate, with the other players?
Yeah, we have already started the production in intermediate and supplied qualification material to various customer. So it will not be linked to one customer. We'll be supplying to various, both domestic as well as export customers of that product. So we are in discussion of potential long-term tie-up also for that, but that is yet not totally finalized.
So any ideas you can share in terms of utilization level of this product in the current quarter?
Current quarter is it's very less actually. It will be more on around 25% or so. But overall this year we see 30-40% and so second half maybe around 50% and next year 70-80%. So that's how we are looking at that.
Okay. And at 50% in terms of margin profile of this product will be in line with our chemical business margin or it will be much lower than that?
So overall, it will be a value-added product. I think margin will be also of a similar type, yes.
Similar means in line with the company's business?
Yep. Yeah,
even at 50% utilization.
On a gross margin basis, yes.
Okay, okay. So second question is, though we have seen the current quarter performance in terms of absolute EBITDA growth of roughly 17-18%, pretty decent given the challenging environment. Last quarter, if I remember that you were guiding for maybe a single digit kind of growth in terms of profit or bottom line growth, given the lower utilization of the new plant, new commission plants. So do you see that the guidance remains intact or there is a possibility that you like to guide for a higher number at the bottom end for the current year?
Yeah, overall if you do the annualization of first quarter, I think we had more than 14% growth in EBITDA compared to the last year. But looking at, you know, some challenges on the demand side also on the high side and all. So we'd not like to change the guidance at this level. Maybe after Q2, we'll look at overall situation and see whether to change the guidance.
Okay. And then the weakness which you mentioned in the business is more important in your opening remarks. You talked about the textiles and FMCG.
Yes.
Are there any other sectors also witnessing any challenges? What I understand as far as the domestic market is concerned, more or less these products are import replacement. While the global markets, I think the large part of agro and pharma remains intact. So just wanted to understand that though the global economy may be shaking and some countries may be impacted by the high inflation, but as far as the other business is concerned and also the benefit which we are probably enjoying from China Plus One, and also do you see that this weak environment is really affecting us or it's affecting in general in larger economy?
No, globally, as you rightly mentioned, Dyestuff, our main business is in domestic. Export is more on engineering, polymers, agro and pharma side. So we are not seeing much impact on the demand side.
Sir, just last from my side and we'll come back in queue. This some of the building blocks which we are in chlorobenzene business and also in toluene, we were supplying some part of this and some products to some of the players based out of Europe and primarily Germany. Do you see that this recent energy crisis in a European market have impacted some of our order intake or some customers have started giving some indication in terms of slowdown in order?
No. Because the people who buy a product from us, you know, they are moving in a further value additions where the energy input to value addition is significantly less. And so we have not got any feedback that, you know, there will be impact on demand from their side. Because of that.
Okay, sir. That's it for my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khaitan from SMIFS Institutional. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is continuing with the earlier participant question on to the end user segment like textiles and FMCG, which are witnessing slowdown. So how much percentage, so these two sectors would be contributing to our end user industries, and how you think the, how are you seeing that the things are turning up today?
Normally, you know, our sales to this segment will be in the range of, you know, in between 10 to 20%. That, and we continuously try to rejuggle the product portfolio if a particular segment is down by going into the other segment or other market in general.
Okay, but sir, like in this quarter, so most of the FMCG companies like the HUL and Nestle, they have witnessed a good volume growth. So where are you feeling that pain in FMCG now?
No, in general, that side, you know, we are seeing some pigment and all also. So which will be then going into the both housing as well as in FMCG side, some slowdown in that segment.
Okay, okay. Sir, onto the pharma intermediates, so this Dombivli unit which you mentioned, so which sort of pharma intermediates are we manufacturing over there, like the intermediates or formulations? And this third new plant, are of generally the similar margins as compared to our current product profile?
Yeah, the Dombivli plant is actually manufacturing pharma intermediates, regulatory starting materials required for the API, and then we are supporting the generic players in India and abroad from that site. So the audit was triggered based on our DMF, secondary DMF that we had filed for a particular intermediate. And there are a host of intermediates which we manufacture in that site, which are going for the regulatory, as a regulatory starting material for different APIs. But overall, the pharma capacity, pharma intermediate capacity of this site is limited because this site is actually attached to our R&D and a lot of low volume, high value products are being manufactured there.
Okay. So this would be of the similar margin profile as compared to our current product profile? Into
yeah, company? Margin profile will be better actually here because these are low volume, high value products that are being manufactured here.
Okay.
But the volume value as such is smaller, so it may not have a significant impact in overall EBITDA percentage.
Okay, okay. Also, yeah. The volume ramp up which you are saying in this quarter, so that has been primarily led by the first and second contract. Apart from this, our core business growth would be flattish, right, since we are operating at peak utilization levels?
Yeah, I know some like nitrotoluenes volumes have been better, but the PDA volume is down. So some impact on product mix continuously happens on because of the nitric acid. Yeah.
Sir, PDA volumes for the quarter, you haven't mentioned that in your initial commentary.
Yeah, Chetan will have the number, right?
Yeah, the PDA volumes were roughly around 370 tons.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akela from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yep. Good evening and thank you, sir. Just a couple of clarifications. One is, is it possible to break out the volume growth in 1Q out of the total revenue growth?
Basically, you know, 25% plus has come from the raw material side. So maybe around 15 to 20% will come from the volume growth.
Got it. Thank you. And also just the capacity of the first long-term contract, sir, for, you know, the 2,5 dichlorophenol. If you could please just tell us how much capacity we have set up right now.
Capacity is was set up for about 9,600 tons.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's all, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pujan Shah from Concurrent Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Sir, I have just a basic question. What in the growth estimate we are estimating a turnover of, like, let's say FY21 growth is like we are estimating of 2.5x of FY21 and a PAT of 3x. So after all this capex has been done in FY24 and all this revenue will start generating utilization from our capex, why doesn't we seem to use, like, we are not getting an operating leverage? Like, it's a similar line of EBITDA and PAT also, the growth has been similar on turnover and PAT. So could you just touch upon that? That would be a great thing for me.
Yeah, no, this leverage will come in this FY24 numbers based on the ramp-up of our current plants for which, you know, the projects have been commissioned or will be commissioned in this year. Whereas the new site of chlorotoluene and all, you know, there will be a totally new greenfield site on that. So that will have, you know, totally separate impact of leverage as the volumes get ramped up. So there'll be a, because they're totally new sites, no? So, and new greenfield sites.
Okay. And sir, for the new capex which we are incurring, so what can be the asset turn we are expecting in that, that term?
In that, you know, asset turn will be lower, maybe more towards between 1 to 1.5, because they are more value-added products.
Okay, sir. Okay, that's my question. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. Sir, just one clarification in terms of the potential revenues from the new contracts in FY24. So, based on the commentary of, say, 80% plus utilization for the first two contracts, and then the third contract will also start sometime during this quarter. In FY24, can we expect close to about, say, 800 to 1,000 crores of incremental revenues put together from all these three contracts?
Yeah, those kind of numbers will come.
Right. And apart from this, there will be organic growth for the other projects which are where we are continuously investing based on the requirement and demand for capacity expansions.
Correct, right? Correct. Yeah.
Right. So the second question on the nitric acid, the concentrated nitric acid project. So where are we currently and when do we expect that this project probably will come to fruition, given that we have faced this challenge from the past maybe 3 or 4 quarters?
Yeah, so this, you know, we already placed the order with the technology supplier, and right now it is in a detail engineering phase, and construction will start shortly. And we are planning to commission in FY24 by around Q4 of FY24 this concentration plant.
Right, right. Now, so just one last question. So after these three long-term contracts, we have not seen any long-term similar kind of contracts. So is there any kind of apprehension from the global players due to the volatility in the market, or probably we are awaiting that our projects, the capex comes to commissioning and then probably we'll go in for some long-term arrangements? Any view on this?
No, we have been having contracts around 4, 5, 7 years earlier also, and certain contract getting rolled over 4, 5 times. So these are larger ones, you know, which are getting into public domain, and we see the potential of these larger ones also going forward.
Right.
Tenure and yeah.
Right, right. Thank you so much, and best of luck, sir.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Trilok from Diamond Asia. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sir, actually in the initial remarks, one is just, you know, clarifying, you said the revenue growth regression must be 40 to 45%. So the understanding of, you know, volume growth could be in the, you know, mid single digit or high single digit, is that correct, or maybe I'm missing something?
Because this raw material 50% is contributed by because of the raw material price increase. So volume growth will be in the range of 15 to 20%.
Okay, and when you said, you know, with respect to slowdown witnessing in 2-3 sectors in domestic market, you are not seeing similar trends in the export markets, or you think that's still holding up well so far?
Yeah, export market is generally not that much impacted.
And when you slowdown is like similar to the last cycles, or it's like quite different this time around? If you could just comment on that, that'll be.
No, diestuff sector is really, you might have seen in the news also, there is a significant, most significant slowdown in Indian diestuff market. It's very, very severe. But hopefully things should start getting better in next few months.
Next few months, you think, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because the cotton price also were very high. Now cotton price is
low. Sure, sure. And that was the single digit for you as a contribution, correct? In revenue terms.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll come back with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akul Brochawala from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I just wanted to check whether you are sticking to your original EBITDA guidance of single-digit growth this year, or would it be much better as compared to your earlier guidance?
No, as of now, we are not revising the guidance. Maybe we'll see.
Understood. Secondly, how are we seeing the gross debt trending going forward? I mean, what would be the peak debt to equity ratio that you will be looking at?
Well, debt to equity ratio, we'll have to see, how the actual entire nitric acid scenario pans out. So if you have to go for a substantial investment in nitric acid plant, then the debt will move higher. Because we'll be continuing with our other ongoing expansion. So it will depend on that. But in general, our target will be between, around 0.7 to 0.9 on the higher side.
Okay, sir. So for this nitric acid, how much capex do we envisage at the moment?
No, currently is around 150 to 200 ton for concentration plant. But if you go for a weak nitric acid plant, we are just evaluating the project cost for that, but that can be, any additional maybe 500 crores plus.
Okay, understood. So, the way I understand it is, earlier you were alluding to the fact that you will import WNA and then probably process it into CNS. So, probably we are also evaluating to set up WNA as a part of sourcing.
So that is also under evaluation. That's what we had mentioned in the last call also, that we are now evaluating a comprehensive nitric acid strategy, whether to go for our own WNA plant also or not. So if we decide to do that, then an additional 5 crore plus capex will roll in.
Understood. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gaurav Shah from Harshad Gandhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. My question is on the growth estimate you shared on your slide 23 of your presentation. Sir, so in the current presentation, you have mentioned all the growth estimate in terms of EBITDA multiple, while on the last quarter presentation, it was mentioned in the EBIT terms. So any particular reason for such change?
Nah, in general, I think what we see that, most of the analysts and all, they talk more of EBITDA than EBIT. So that is the reason that it was changed.
But you have mentioned the absolute amount, like 1.72, if you talk about FY24, you kept the number same.
Yeah.
So it will change the valuation. So that way.
No, the benchmark number goes on changing. So the original EBITDA and EBIT number were also, the FY21 also will be different. There's a multiple, we are maintaining similar number.
Okay. But are you sure? Because earlier you mentioned an EBITDA multiple of 1.72x, for example, for FY24. Now you are mentioning in terms of EBITDA. So valuation will change accordingly.
But again, the baseline also will be EBITDA, not EBIT. So EBITDA itself.
Okay. You understand?
Yeah.
Okay. So just wanted to clarify that. So it's,
yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meet Vora from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So just wanted to understand a bit more on what issues that you are facing on the Nitric side. So is it the availability issue? Is it the pricing issue? Is it that the supplier is not able to ramp up their capacity? Or because we are saying that we'll commission our capacity by FY24. So is it that for the next 2 years, we will still be facing this issue of nitric acid?
Yeah, nitric acid overall capacity in India is a little bit short currently. Then the demand is going to grow. So that's why we have to, you know, for a long-term strategy, we are putting up that plant of which we had already announced. On a medium-term basis, second half, we see that some capacity in India will come up for nitric acid. So in FY24, we don't see any significant shortages of nitric acid.
Sure. So for the next 2 years, we nitric acid still remains to be an issue for us, right?
FY23, second half can still be an issue. But if once the new capacity in India by other manufacturers in the second half of FY23, we don't see much impact coming in FY24. By that time, we'll have our own concentration plant also. So beyond FY24, I think will not be an issue also.
Sure, sir. And secondly, what percentage of our total spec chem revenue will be the nitro toluene chain?
Nitro toluene chain, you are saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that number we'll have to take out.
We'll have to pull out that number. It will not be readily available. We'll pull it out and send it across separately.
Sure. Thanks. That's all from my side. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. On the concentrated the weak nitric acid plant, what will the decision what will make it what factors will make you go for it versus not just staying with a concentration plant?
Yeah, we'll see the overall, you know, how the economics is working out on that, you know. So availability of, you know, long-term availability of WNA and what kind of pricing and whether, you know, to start from ammonia to WNA itself will make more sense. So that, you know, we are trying to weigh between the two. Because WNA to CNA will ensure the supply security. But the cost-wise, you know, once you have ammonia-based, then you are on a par with everybody on ammonia-based. So that differentiation, we are just trying to see what will be the best long-term strategy.
Okay, sir. And so if for the WNA, you'll have to you will have to backward integrate into ammonia also, or ammonia is what something you
No, ammonia is very big globally traded. So that is an advantage. If you are ammonia based, you know, then it is a global price. Whereas WNA is an intermediate which can go short, long, and can have more volatility in pricing. So if you are totally backward integrated, then you are, you know, online with everybody because everybody has to source ammonia at a global prices.
Right, sir. And sir, this plant, assuming you go ahead with it, would be what, entirely for a captive consumption, or you look to become, do a third-party supplies of WNA also?
No. It will be basically economic size of the plant is needed. So we'll be putting about 500 TPD plant. So out of that, you know, 75-80% will be captive consumption initially, and then going forward, maybe as our demand goes up, it will become 100% captive. So it will not be much for merchant.
Got it, sir. And just secondly, on the first long-term contract, you know, you've talked about in the presentation that the first and the second both will be about 70% utilization, around 70% of the peak by FY24 end. So how is how is the contract one shaping up in terms of supplies? Whom are you supplying to and what kind of visibility is there on it?
Yeah, we are supplying to various domestic as well as export customers for that. And a lot of qualification quantities have been given in the Q1. And we'll see a ramp up in second half of those quantities.
And so the plant continues to be dedicated for the same older intermediate only?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vishnu Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for your time on your growth projects, which we have earlier mentioned about anywhere about 3,000 to 3,500 crores between chemicals and pharma. And considering the current year capex of 1,500 crores, want to understand broadly how many projects we have firmed up and construction is likely to start next 6 months, and how many projects will take some more time to kind of take a final firm decision in terms of capex, let's say in FY24. If you could just give a broad guidance of the capex, how much has been firmed up, how much you still need to take a call, and this, if you could roughly give us an idea on this.
Yes, we'll start construction of few process blocks in this FY24 itself, like multi-purpose plant and some of the other process blocks. So, if you say basically from October to next June, this 9 months, virtually most of the expansion plant will go under construction. That is a typical construction cycle. You start from October to June, because July, August, September has a heavy rains in general. So going forward, you know, from October onwards, so we'll have construction of various process blocks, which are at a different level of detail engineering and basic engineering.
So the entire 2,500 to 3,000 crores worth projects for chemicals will somewhere between October to June, you will have most of these projects, at least some work will be done and then start construction will happen. Is that the right understanding?
Yes.
Got it, sir. So this year will be 1,500 crores capex, and next year can we take that will be another 1,500 crores of capex?
Yeah, that's 2 years combined. We have put 3,000 because this year may be going a little bit up and down depending on how much it happens. But over the combined 2 years, we are looking at 3,000.
Okay, got it, sir. And second question is that wanted to understand the impact of prices. I mean, crude has also come down from 115, 120 to 95. And the previous quarter it went up sharply. So just wanted to understand, because you have almost 2.5 months of inventory days, what could have been the inventory gain, if any, and on the reversal also, should we expect anything in 2Q? Broadly, if you could touch upon this.
Actually, part of this inventory gain or loss gets negated by, you know, some of these contracts or businesses are lagging in the pricing, you know. So prices gets passed into the next quarter to the customer. So that kind of balances each other out in general.
Okay. But the contractual volumes, my understanding was not very high, if I'm not too wrong.
No, we have got a lot of businesses which are linked to the raw material rollover kind of internationally, mainly internationally, but within India also some like 2 to 3 months.
Okay. So the average pricing, you're saying, is the pricing will be based on an average of 1 to 2 months based on which you will charge to the customers. So that will take
care of this. For exports, you know, lots of these businesses are like that. So exports are generally to average 2 to 3 months lag take place. Domestic generally is on a month-to-month basis, so sometime maybe 1 to 2 months.
Understood, sir. And finally, just on the capex bit, how much have we spent till now out of this 1,500?
This year, this for Q1 was about 200 crores.
About 200 crores. Okay, thanks for all the best, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranjit from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. First, wanted a bit of clarification. In the presentation, you have mentioned a 30 crore impact on the PBT due to forex. So it can be a bit more details on that. Was it largely on the foreign debt or was also a part of that would be under the EBITDA part.
It is majorly on the foreign currency debt. That's where it is.
It's largely the finance cost.
Yeah, it added to the finance cost.
Okay, thank you. And second, again, coming to the nitric acid thing. So whether you're also finding it a bit more difficult to source the weak nitric acid globally, so how is the demand supply dynamics on the nitric acid globally? In India, you have said that the demand has been rising and capacities are not coming up. How the situation that is there globally, and more so on the back of this high energy prices, on ammonia and then to the nitric acid?
So globally also, generally we see the kind of volume what we will need, the availability will not be an issue. The at global level, the ammonia requirement are around 225-250 TPD. Because some volumes we can source domestically also. So we don't see availability of the weak nitric acid as a challenge overall.
Finally, how much will it take to set up a 500 TPD plant for nitric acid?
Pardon?
Yeah. The cost that would be the capex for a 500 TPD plant of a nitric acid?
There will be 500 crore plus capex for a new nitric acid, weak nitric acid plant from ammonia. So that's out. Is the current estimate. Everything is getting now fine-tuned on that, you know, and then we are evaluating whether to go ahead with that.
So, if I have it correct, it's 500 crores.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pankaj Singh from Firstline. Please go ahead.
Sir, first of all, thanks for providing this opportunity and congratulations for the decent number that you have posted. First of all, I just want to understand that in the Q1 FY23.
Pankaj, sorry to interrupt you. Your voice is breaking. Can I request you to come in a better reception area?
Hello, sir. Am I audible now?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Sir, first of all, I just want to understand that in the quarter 1 FY23, that we have paid a GST of around 200 odd crores. And that last quarter, we have paid GST of around 262.18 crores. Even though the gross revenue has increased, would have paid more GST on the sales?
Pankaj, sorry, we lost your audio. Can I request you to repeat your question once again?
Sorry, sir, for this. Sir, in the quarter, first and this quarter, we have paid a GST.
I understood your question. So the point was that we do have export transactions, and in export, there are two-way of dispatches when the factory movements are happening. So one is with payment of GST and another is without payment of GST under bond. So we had some shipments which has happened under bond in this quarter, and that is where that GST component was lower. It's more like in terms of balancing the GST balances which has accrued and try and optimize the same.
Okay, sir. So next is the expected capacity utilization level for the whole year. And then for the FY24 also.
Yeah, the capacity utilization will be, you know, for different plants, be a different, like nitrochlorobenzene, virtually we are running at almost 100% capacity. Nitrotoluene, we are at 70% plus. So it will be all, you know, individual plant based. And this new projects are on a ramp up, which we already discussed.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking out the time to join us on our Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. Hope we have addressed all your questions. If you have any further questions, please feel free to contact our investor relations team and we will address them. Stay safe and we look forward to connecting with you, all of you again in the next quarter. Thank you once again.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Aarti Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.